Why did the Light in the Fog host take some time off in 2025? Well, Jenny was busy up-leveling her life from the deep wells of shadow work, as we heard in part one. And now it's Trey's turn to pull back the curtain, because the veil was pulled back for her in a significant and significantly weird way. Welcome to part two of Bolts of Transition. Where we are now is not even remotely where we were then.
Tell me about your hiatus, Trey. What's been up with you? What's new? What's going on in your world?
What's going on? So Jenny is my hero. She is my role model. Oh. She really, really with, you know, and it, and I know that you felt like not great going through it, but you really did model a lot of grace. You weren't missing like work days. There wasn't like a ton of, yeah. Okay. Like maybe.
Yeah.
As required. But you, like, you were under just a tremendous amount of pressure and stress and uncertainty, and, you got through it, you know, you modeled some grace there, and you landed in a place that's going to be absolutely so much better. And I'm not going to say like, oh, all of that was worth it, because struggle, we're not here to struggle, y'all. Like, struggle is stupid, but you got to where you needed to go. And I applaud that.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. And I'm still working on accepting that and allowing myself to understand that truth, because I recognize it as a truth objectively, but subjectively I'm like, nah, that's not true, none of it. slander.
How dare you compliment me?
Yeah, exactly. But thank you, Trey. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I think this is part of what friends do, is we hold models up for each other, or not models, mirrors for each other, so that we can have a little more, I don't know, hopefully perspective and,
yeah,
and seeing how things rolled. All right. So long and the short of it is, I had lunch with a friend, and she was telling me about this really huge experience that she had had. And I'm not going to relate it because it's her story, but she was, she went into the void, y'all, like in a really, really serious way. And she was talking about how since she'd been back, she just didn't feel right, man. Her life just didn't feel like hers. She just couldn't get back into the groove of things, and it was really freaking her out. And what came into my mind right away was the phrase walk-in. And I had known a couple of previous folks who identified as walk-ins, and we kind of figured out that this is probably what was going on with her. But I got curious, because that's what I do. Like, please, I just went and did like 2 hours on hikikomori students, because I was like, what's happening in Japan? Like, I need to know. So I did a deep, deep dive into what walk-ins are. And guys, they're nothing new. They're nothing scary. They're not, you know, possessions. They are literally just another way that our souls can experience this or any other plane of existence. So what usually happens is either there was a deal made in advance where it's like, look, I'm gonna use the meat suit, you know, for this number of years, and then I'm gonna hand it off to you. Or there's like a near-death experience, and frankly, they die and they come back different, like really different. And there's been a new soul that has come in, and they're going to like use that meat suit. Other times, some people are just like, can't do it. I don't want to destroy the vessel, but like, I'm not doing this anymore. For sometimes it's trauma reasons. Sometimes it's because they actually realize that they have completed their purpose in this world, and there's just no reason to stick around, man. John Sewage Melonhead says, so the thrill of living, or living goes on long after the thrill of living is done. And for some folks, they're just like, no, like I cannot get excited about being here anymore. Please, somebody take the meat suit and that terrible song and like make use of it. And then other people will look around and say, oh, hell no. Or they'll say, you know, I was put here for a purpose, and I've been interfered with so much that like I can't do it anymore. Like I'm heartbroken, and like if I'm never gonna have a chance to do what I was meant to do, I'm out. I don't care. I'm out. And then another soul will come in. So there, those are like I'm trying to strip it down and make it as fleet of foot as possible here. And again, you guys, like this is just another, you know, soul life. This is just what souls do. And when I started telling my friends that I was a walk-in, because I realized very quickly, oh yeah, I'm totally a walk-in. I had multiple friends being like, I think I am too. And it was great because nobody called me, you know, like you're insane. And they know that I'm like deep into this, all of these esoteric studies anyway. But it was just really refreshing that they completely embraced it. Like nobody freaked out. Nobody was like, well, I can't be friends with you because you're not who I thought you were. So I'm not the person who started this podcast. I was entwined with her. So that's another fun thing that can happen is sometimes it's a clean break. So like if somebody had amnesia, you know, and they come like, that is a clean break. The old soul's gone. The new soul came in and is like, I don't recognize anything about this world. But mostly what happens is the new soul will come in and say, look, could you stick around for a little while? Because like, I need like, what's that person's name? How do I do this job? Like, can you just like ramp me up? And it can be a pretty fast process, but if the old soul hangs out for too long, sometimes they forget to leave. Sometimes the new soul hangs on to them. And that's kind of mean because they really did want to go, like let go of them. So it's called, some people call it braiding or entwining. There's another word for it. I can't remember. Let's see, what else would I give for background on it? Sometimes the personality is radically different. Like, I think like the big joke for Gen Xers and boomers is like dudes get to like 45 and like suddenly leave their families and get a sports car, you know, and start a second family and quit their jobs. And, you know, everybody's like, I just don't even recognize that person anymore. And I'm like, walk in. It just makes sense that they're here to have their own experience here. And there's nothing wrong with it, you guys. It's very natural. Most of us have done it, whether we know it or not. So what I figured out for myself, is that all that I wanted to say? There might be a little bit more. So what I figured out was the checklist and the top three or four are like, you changed your name, very kind of suddenly moved, you walked out of a relationship, you walked out of a job, you do something right, and you started off an accountant, and now all of a sudden you're, I don't know, a yoga guru. Lots of walk-ins come in very spiritually lifted, but that's not a guarantee. I mean, the goal is obviously to always be evolving ourselves, and that's lovely and charming, but sometimes sometimes it's just not that. It's just another soul who is also here to do some evolution, but it doesn't mean that they're like, you know, Buddhists already and floating on lotus leaves. Okay, so I figured out that I've probably been a four-time walk-in, and that's not unusual, y'all, to do this multiple times. I have been told by multiple psychics that like, even before I was born, I was like, no, 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 no. I don't want to be in that family. I don't want to be in that family. I don't want to be that family. Which is funny because we're always told that we chose the family that we came into. Guys, not always, not always. There's infinite numbers of ways to exist. Don't let anybody tell you that there's certain rules because they ain't. So one of them, you know, is I saw the I'm going to cuss now, the shit show that I was going to be born into, and I didn't want to do it. And guess what? I tapped out probably before I was 2 years old, probably even when I was born. So that was the first one. The second one was when I was 16 and I had multiple traumas, like big, big, heavy, horrible, horrible, horrible things that happened. And I had always said that like I was already dead. I literally was just mustering the energy so I can like get myself out of here. And I thought that might be during the summer. And I ended up, there was a woman who I used to think was, oh, she saved my life. And now I'm like, I don't know, maybe she was a demon, man. Maybe she would have just been better if I'd kicked. And she was like, if I can get you in a different school, would you go? So, you know, I left that school, I changed my name, and I had a completely different friend circle, completely different. Holy Toledo. And then I ended up leaving my mother's house like 4 or 5 months later and living on my own. And then I moved to New York, like really, really fast sequence. I was not who I had been, and I was absolutely just floating, and became somebody called Trey. She hung out until, you know, I really should go back and look at the ages. I think 38. So that was the first breakdown. And then the second breakdown was when I was living in Los Angeles, and I'm not, you know, blah, 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 terrible stuff. And decided very, you know, kind of randomly that like, I was going to just completely change my life. I was going to do what everybody else was doing then and apply to grad school. And we moved back to my home state. I was married then. And guys, it was horrible. I honestly think the reason I stayed alive was because I was so devoted to my dog. And if you'd ever met my dog, you would know why I was so devoted to her. She was very old. She was very sick. And there was absolutely zero possibility that I was going to abandon her. But it was also three of the hardest years of my life. And I had found out later on that, like, my sister, my husband were having phone calls nightly, like, hey, what, suicide watch for Trey. I'm like, holy Toledo. So, you know, any of these times where you have these massive nervous breakdowns, I don't know what else to call them. And when you come out the other side, if your life is really transformed or you go off in a different direction, there is a possibility that you're a walk-in. And this is where I got into psychic stuff. This is where I got into Eastern medicine. This is where I actually actively started healing. And I don't think that the previous soul had any of that capacity. Cause I got to tell you guys, she was gone. She was toast. She could not function. So this new person came in and she hyper functioned and made lots of changes and did lots of renovations and had a pretty good time, became a teacher. So also changed my career. That's, you know, remember that was one of the big things, career change, did a ton. And I got to tell you, I'm deeply, deeply proud of what she, you know, of what she accomplished, because she lived her values. She was a person of service and integrity. She volunteered, God, just endlessly. She, you know, worked with so many creative people, just developing them and helping them chase their dreams. She did really, really good, but she had like a thing that she really, really wanted for herself. Never got it. And every single time, and it was the last two souls. So LA version, and then I don't know, they were all Treys. So LA Trey, and then like return to home state Trey. They had very, very specific things that they knew that they were here to do, and they never got to do it. And every time they came anywhere close to it, there would be wacky interference. And did we do an episode about interference, Jenny? Do you remember?
I don't remember, to be honest, maybe. Okay.
If we did it, it's going on the list. Let's talk about what interference is and what it isn't, quite frankly. You know, and she had worked really, really unbelievably hard for this one specific thing to happen. And then when it didn't happen, and it was gross, you guys, it was gross how it didn't happen. It was misogyny, and it was bias. It was gross. It was corrupt. And when she was told that, like, once again, you don't get to do the thing that you worked really hard to do and that you deserve to do and that you are capable of doing, I kind of remember it. It's really weird because you don't necessarily have all the memories as the new person coming in. But I remember like the feeling of being kicked in the chest. And that was the moment, boom. Returned to home state, Trey left the planet, and I came in. But there was contracts that hadn't been finished. There was a dog that, like, I don't think, I call her Old Christine because it makes me laugh. There was a sitcom. It doesn't matter. Some people will get the joke, some people won't. So Old Christine wasn't going to let me finish the time with my dog Winnie, who was blind and deaf, because Old Christine and Winnie had a contract, like a soul contract, and she had swore to Winnie, I'm your person until you die. I'm not going to make you learn like anything new or anybody else. So she was going to hang out to finish off that thing. And this is what happens a lot with walk-ins, is there's unfinished business. And then the other person kind of hangs in, and, you know, you would think it's not that big of a deal, but the problem is now you're serving two purposes. I had so many voices in my head. Oh my God. So many voices in my head. She had very specific things that she wanted for her. So she did not want to die in her home state. That was like huge, huge. She was not going to die. If she had to drive across the border to Wyoming, like that's what she was going to do. She didn't want to die without having sex again. I can't even remember. There's like four or five things. So I got kind of sucked into the vortex of her wrapping up the things that she wanted at the end of her life. And I literally had a voice on the right side, a voice behind me, a voice over here. And and every time I would try to start something new, it would get blown up. And yeah, I got to date a guy and there was sex one more time. But let me tell you, it was not good. I ended up getting really sick, not the way you're thinking, but in a different way. It was so sloppy and bad. So I had to do a lot of research YouTube is your friend, right? I found the right research to find the person who spoke directly to this and is like, okay, we can clear your old soul because they are meant to be released, like release them. So I did a ton of clearing, but one of the things that happened, because I think Old Christine realized like, okay, my time is up. Like I gotta wrap things up. And when she did get that notice and kind of was sent on her way, I went into 6 weeks of apathy, and that's why I wasn't doing the podcast. So while Jenny was really struggling to figure out what the next move, because she couldn't stay where she was at anymore, I couldn't stay where I was at either. And apathy, I love it. I love it. Oh my God. It's not good. It's not human. Somebody was like, oh, that's like a form of depression. I was like, all I know is it was relief. The voices were gone. I wasn't serving two masters. I didn't care about anything. And it was bleak. So that was a big, long monologue. Jenny, have you ever experienced extreme apathy?
Yeah, definitely. Mine's more related to the depression.
Okay. So where am I now? So I figured out I'm a walk-in. I figured out how to let Trey go. Because let me tell you, that chick did not want to be here. And she hadn't wanted to be here for years. And it was merciful. So now here I am. Some fun, weird things. I write different. My O's are super different. My cursive is different. I couldn't type, which is bad. We all need to know how to type.
That's wild.
I had to kind of reteach myself a little bit. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't from brass tacks. So there's lots of specific things that were different about me. I used to be able to find her energy signature, but she's gone. I lost interest in film, and guys, all I've ever done in my life is, you know, from the time I was 17, like I did film, and all of a sudden I was just like, ugh, there's gotta be something else for me to go do. And I think there is, and this happens again with a lot of walk-ins, you leave your job. I'm actually thinking about moving the state that I moved to because, I have not been able to get any kind of traction here financially. Did we do that episode about money? We kept saying we were going to do an episode about money.
Yeah, we did. Did we? I think we did. I think we did a money episode. We've done one money episode. I don't know that we fully got what we wanted out of it, though.
Right. Okay.
But yes.
So I have lots of access. So I think that I am definitely part of the same soul family as old Christine. And I actually think I am a soul. What's that word? It starts with an F. Faction. Diamond facet, a facet of the same soul, but from a different dimension and from further down. And because there's all kinds of, it can be a completely new soul, you guys, completely new soul. It can be ancestral. I mean, it's fascinating. And all you can do is really kind of meditate, and like wait for the answers to come up. And this is as close as I've gotten because there's still so much about Trey's life that I still hold reverence for. But I also know I don't owe anybody anything. I get to, like, it's a blank slate. I can go do whatever the heck I want. Problem is, and this happens also with a lot of walk-ins, we don't know what we want to do. We don't know what our purpose is. And that's actually kind of the first step is to start sorting out, like, what do you enjoy in this world? Like, what appeals to you? And I'm not there. I'm not there. I went to Colorado, my home state that I moved away from, because Trey didn't want to die in Colorado, so we're in Kansas, which I love. Like, I don't, no shade on Kansas, but like it was a goodbye tour. It was like seeing who was going to stay with this Trey moving forward, and who I was going to let go of. And it was really surprising how many people. And Trey, let me tell you, I'm going to cuss again. That child ate shit. Like, she let her friends fucking like be shit to her. And I don't mean like, just like monologuing and never asking how she is. And I don't know, ignoring some of her boundaries and I don't know, stuff. So not horrendous. She had great friends, but she always was the person to be like, I'll be the bigger person. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to let it go. And let me tell you, this Trey, I ain't playing that game.
Yeah, well, and like I want to speak to that for a second because like
Please.
you are a completely different person than you were when you first started this podcast,
Yeah, so
like you
you can
said.
tell, right? Like,